It's June 18th, and this is the Civil War Podcast. It was on this day in 1861 that the United States Sanitary Commission was founded. The forerunner of the American Red Cross, the Sanitary Commission was a private relief agency, a civilian auxiliary organization created to support soldiers both spiritually and physically in hospitals and in the field. As the Commission's handbook proclaimed, the one point which controls the Commission is just this, a simple desire and resolute determination to secure for the men who have enlisted in this war the care which it is the will and the duty of the nation to give them. The Commission determined to do what the government could not. It supplemented and did not supplant the government's war efforts. Again from the handbook, it must be subordinate to Army rules and regulations and in no way break down the essential military discipline. The general object was to bring to bear upon the health, comfort, and morale of our troops the fullest and ripest teachings from general hygienic principles. The concentration on disease prevention and hospital management was inspired by the British Sanitary Commission, which assisted Florence Nightingale during the Crimean War. Hospital work was but one branch of its mandate. It also procured and shipped supplies and ministered to the needs of the soldiers and their families. The Commission benefited from the surge of patriotism in the early days of the war. As the soldiers who volunteered by the hundreds of thousands moved south, the families they left behind mobilized the home front. Not only those who wore a uniform could claim their membership in the nation. Grassroots reporters gathered supplies, raised funds, and volunteered their time to help with the war effort. Famous Americans served in its ranks. The Commission was headed by clergyman Henry Whitney Bellows. Architect Frederick Law Olmsted was an executive, the author Louisa May Alcott was a nurse, and social reformer Mary Livermore visited the camps and organized sanitary fairs. A visiting English officer wrote, "The Sanitary Commission has, in fine, disciplined and instructed the whole people and enlisted every man, woman, and child in the military service of the country." Supplies such as quilts, blankets, butter, eggs, sauerkraut, and chickens were gathered across the North's different regions. Women's groups sewed bandages, uniforms, and articles of clothing. The supplies were sent to depots where they were sorted, repacked, and stamped with the mark of the commission, and finally requisitioned to the field where sanitary commission agents dispersed them to the soldiers. Field agents inspected camp drainage, ventilation, food quality, and hospital hygiene. Salaries were modest, but many inspectors gave up better-paying jobs in order to answer the call. Also recognizing the efforts of the Commission, the Northern Railroads transported its freight for free, and telegraph companies waived fees for relaying messages. Given its fundraising successes, these gestures are almost symbolic. The Sanitary Commission raised over $25 million during the course of the war. In addition to local aid societies raising funds from private individuals, the Commission became known for spectacular sanitary fairs. The entertaining fairs featured lectures, sales, auctions, dances, and parades. The largest fair in New York in 1864 raised over $2 million. The main focus of the Sanitary Commission was improving the hygiene of the Army camps and hospitals. Under USSC guidance, hospital boats transported up to 700 wounded men a day back behind supply lines. Testament to their commitment, the ships were run under capacity so as to improve sanitation and not to overwhelm the doctors staffing the boats or the hospitals to which the injured were transported. The wounded were tended by volunteer nurses, usually women, who spent weeks covered in blood, had no place to sleep, lost their sense of night and day while working below decks. The Commission moved the injured northwards and sent supplies south on the return voyage. During the Vicksburg Campaign, potatoes and onions, sauerkraut and pickles rolled across the Central Railroad and sailed down the Mississippi. A line of vegetables connected Chicago and Vicksburg. As a chronicler noted, this movement is more striking from the fact that the government had endeavored to obtain these articles and failed, but for the Sanitary Commission, the army would have gone without them. Another vital non-governmental role the commission played was medium of intercommunication between the people and the army. It established the Bureau of Vital Statistics, the Hospital Directory, and the Special Relief Service. These were attempts to centralize data about wounded soldiers and answer inquiries from anxious family members. They also provided services for veterans. The commission ran 30 soldiers' homes across the country to serve as rest stops for traveling soldiers and care for disabled veterans. Clerks helped soldiers collect bounties, back pay, and pensions. The United States Sanitary Commission was disbanded in 1866, but its efforts were long-lasting, especially with regards to the political empowerment of the volunteers. The abolitionists and women who filled its ranks had been political outsiders before the war, but their involvement turned them into partisan insiders. They were given paid employment, executive skills, and a soapbox from which their strategies on race relations and equal pay could be developed. At the closing of the March 1864 Sanitary Commission Fair, Lincoln stated, "If all that has been said by orators and poets since the creation of the world in praise of women applied to the women of America, it would not do them justice for their conduct during this war." You've been listening to the Civil War Podcast, a weekly podcast researched, written, and read by Aaron McGuire, with music by Tom Nagy. Thank you for listening.